Look at Joseph a little bit tonight. I'm afraid that the spirituality of the average independent Baptist church member is really gone to pot. They can't deal with anything in a scriptural manner. They get offended at the slightest little thing. A bunch of sissies. We're supposed to be training up what? Soldiers. There's a warfare every day of your life. The world is against you, the flesh is against you, and the devil is against you. And then sometimes you've got Christians against you. So Psalm 105, let's stand together. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God. And verse number 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I'd say that's a good idea. Amen. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, not just in church. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. How much seeking have we done? I mean, that's getting after it, isn't it? And Lord, I want a closer relationship with you. Lord, I want to know you better. Lord, I want the power of God on my life. Remember, verse 5, his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. Oh, ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord what? Tried him. Tried who? Tried Joseph. Is the word of the Lord going to try you? Yes, it is. Yes. When did that trial start? How old was he? 17, if not earlier. Verse 20, the king sent, loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Verse 22, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom. Lord, I love you. I pray that you'd bless now as we look at the life of Joseph and try to learn some things that we can apply to our hearts and our lives. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you well know, you can go to Genesis chapter 37 with me now. Genesis chapter 37. There's more written in the book of more written on Joseph in the book of Genesis than any other person. You know what Jacob did not learn from his father? Who was Jacob's father? Raise your hand if you know the answer. Jacob's father. This isn't a trick question now. Isaac. Okay. What did Jacob not learn from Isaac that he should have learned from Isaac? Yes. Isaac loved Esau because of his venison. Who did Jacob love? Joseph, because he was the son of Rachel. Y'all with me? But he didn't learn that. We need to learn some lessons, guys. It has always been my prayer that my children would be better Christians than I am. That some of the things that I'm guilty of, they would not be guilty of. Well, so what I want to do is I want to look at some characteristics and some decisions that Joseph made during his life. chapter 37. You guys know the story, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed the dream and told it his brethren. And they what? Over a what? Over a dream. Right? And you think you have it bad because Tim picks on you. At least he doesn't hate you most of the time. You think it's bad because you got three sisters. They hated him. Look with me at verse 11. And his brethren envied him. But that's not what. I was looking for the ones that they wanted to kill him. But anyway, you know that's what he wanted to do. So here we got Joseph. God gives him dreams. He shares his dreams with his dad and his family. They hate him, but he just goes ahead on with life. He didn't get discouraged, and he's only 17 years old. So what I want to say, you guys know the story of David, so I'm assuming that. Joseph never demanded to God. I don't understand. Explain this to me. Guys, listen to me. It's what you, I go to church, I tithe, I give the missions, I do right, I do this, I don't do this, I don't do that. Why did this happen to me? That wasn't Joseph. He did not demand to understand. I mean, okay, Lord, you gave me these dreams. I'm telling my dad, why do they hate me? He didn't do that. He just goes on. Could I give you a verse? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. You know what some parents ask their kids when they come home with a test and a grade? What did so-and-so get? Why would you stupid parents ask that question? It's none of your business what some other kid got. What about your kids? Do you follow me? Busy buddies. Nosy. Well, I just don't understand. Well, who cares about you understanding? Joseph didn't care about understanding. He trusted the Lord. So when he told his family about the dreams, he just goes on. When his brothers hate him, want to sell him into slavery, he doesn't demand, Lord, why am I being sold into slavery? Lord, why am I being put in a pit? No. Whatever his circumstances, he didn't allow the circumstances to put doubt in his heart that he's questioning what God's doing. What's he doing? He's evidencing faith that God is in control and this accident didn't just accidentally happen. It was the hand of God. The second thing, because he didn't question, the second thing he never bowed to was bitterness. We got churches full of bitter people. They're bitter at their parents. They're bitter at their kids. They're bitter at the people who sit behind them. They're bitter because of stupid, idiotic stuff that when the Lord calls your number at the judgment seat, you will be embarrassed. You caused division for this. You had bitterness for this. You had hatred for this. He never got bitter. Are you 100% sure he didn't get bitter towards his brethren? I can prove it to you. If you were number two in charge of Egypt and those boys who put you in a pit, sold you into slavery, showed up, what would you have done? Not Joseph. Hey, it wasn't even a thought because he had forgiven them. He had put it in the hands of God. And he believed God was guiding and directing his life. And circumstances were just circumstances. Nothing to get bitter about. He didn't get bitter at Potiphar's wife. That woman lied on him. I mean, some people have coronary fits. They have strokes because somebody says something about them. Or somebody, God forbid, says something about your kids. This woman lied. This woman said, he tried to rape me. And he ends up in jail. Well, that's not a good deal. He didn't get bitter at her. How do you know that? Well, when he was number two, did he call her up? No. Because he had put it in God's hands. Listen, that I have no record in the Bible she ever asked for forgiveness, but he forgave her. I have heard saved people say, that person's never asked for my forgiveness. Oh, what are you, God? You're going to carry around bitterness and justify yourself for being bitter and unforgiven just because they didn't ask for forgiveness? Really? So you're going to ruin your walk with the Lord. You're going to ruin your joy, ruin your peace, ruin your touch, having any touch of God on your life because of that? Guys, that's juvenile. It's absolutely, it's this what I'm talking about. Saved people don't have much maturity with the Lord nowadays. He said, how can you tell? Just look at how they deal with situations. He never got bitter towards his brethren. He never got bitter to Potiphar's wife. Hey, remember the butler? Hey, I'll get you out of here. What'd he do? He forgot. God forbid somebody forgets something about you, right? Oh, well, they just forgot. Well, yeah, the butler forgot. Joseph never tried to clear his name, right? Called him a rapist. You know what the Bible says? That the Lord made himself of no reputation. Some saved people are more concerned about their reputation than their walk with the Lord. I'll tell you, revenge is a very real thing. And most church members, if they were in Joseph's position, they would have sought revenge. And God would have never used them. Amen. Never. Let's go to Genesis. Let's start in Genesis 45. Aren't you glad to be forgiven?
Amen.
You know, I carry on. You ask me why I'm happy. Well, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Why are they gone? Because he's forgiven me.
Right.
He doesn't hold any grudges. You know, when I mess up, he doesn't slap me upside the head and say, hey, remember, I forgave you that. No, he doesn't do that. But saved people have trouble forgiving one another. Oh, you can tell. Why don't people stay married, Dan? They can't learn to forgive. Right? Brother Danny Farley's mom and dad were married close to 50 years. That's a pretty long time, guys. And they got a divorce. And Danny was telling me this. I said, Danny, why, after all that time? He said, Mike, they finally hit a spot that neither of them was going to back down, say they were sorry, or ask for forgiveness. So they went to the judge and got a divorce. I know we shake our heads. But you and I are capable of that. It's called pride. It is called pride. How much of my guilt did the Lord take? You know, and parents, some parents, they don't want their kids to be falsely accused about nothing. I really think it's good character building. And most kids are so sneaky and such good liars. They don't get near the discipline they should get. They get away with more than you could shake a stick at. Listen, I was a disciplinarian. Mrs. Keenan was a disciplinarian. We had eyes in the back of our heads, in the sides of our heads. But Pastor Matt, did you not get away with a lot? Did not your siblings get away with a lot? You can tell when a kid gets saved.
Amen.
Their lying goes way down.
Amen.
Their sneaking goes way down.
Amen.
They will actually say, yes, I'm guilty.
Amen.
Instead of trying to lie their way through it. I'm in Genesis 45. This is why Joseph never bowed to bitterness, because he was able to forgive. Then Joseph could, this is when the boys were back the second time. This is 22 years, 22 years. Did you ever run into somebody that's been bitter for 22 years? Any joy in their life? Any blessings being around them? Absolutely. Caleb, they're like a shrunken up prune, like they're sucking on lemon juice 24/7. 22 years of bitterness. Is this 22 years of bitterness? Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Wouldn't you have been? Oh, wait a minute. This is the second in command in Egypt. This is our brother Joseph that we sold into slavery. We're dead men. Right? You know what they thought? They thought Joseph was just like them. But he wasn't. The first thing he does, he wants nobody to know about the transgression. You can tell you're a bitter person because you'll tell anybody what somebody else did to you and why you're right to be mad, angry, and why you won't forgive. Not Joseph. It's because you don't have real forgiveness. Boy, he's exercising those lungs, isn't he? Hallelujah. Verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into." The first thing of true forgiveness, you don't want anybody to know about what the transgressor did. The second thing, you want to make the offender feel comfortable around you. You don't want to put a guilt trip on them. You want grace and forgiveness. Verse 5. "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither." Some people, when they got something against you, they want you to crawl on your face to their feet and kiss their feet. You're wicked. You're wicked. No, that wasn't David. He tries to get the offender to forgive himself. Hey, guys, listen. Haven't you messed up and you felt bad about messing up? And then you mess up and affect somebody else and you really feel bad about it. Well, David, he says, hey, come here. Everything's good. I'm your brother. Look at verse 5. "Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves." It's okay. Because look what he says. "For God," he never forgot that God was in control of his life. "For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years," now Joseph's 30, about 39 years old, "hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." You know what true deliverance does? It delivers you. True forgiveness delivers you from bitterness. Amen. He wasn't bitter. God was in control of his life. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. That's true. Let's go to go with me now to chapter 50. Now in chapter 50, Jacob has gone on, and look with me at verse 15. "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us.'" Why'd they think that? Huh? Right. You said, "Well, you already said that." Listen to me. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Most people don't think right because they're not in their Bibles and they're full of themselves and they walk in the flesh. Right? So you always think the worst of somebody else. That wasn't Joseph. He knew God was in control of his life. They were his family. They messed up, but God used it for his glory, and he was glad for it. He had nothing against his brothers. And so, for time's sake, just slide back down there to verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Now, since the Bible recorded that, if you or I hold a grudge or unforgiveness against a brother or sister in Christ, we are taking the place of God. That is of the devil. That is not of God. Look at verse 28. "But as for me, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto" what? Okay, the New Testament verse hasn't been written yet, but what does Joseph believe? Nay. Huh? For all, Romans 8:28. For all. What's all? All things work together for good to them that love God. Joseph loved God. Joseph loved God. So what'd he say? "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." So no bitterness. No unforgiveness. He never allowed that seed, that root of bitterness in his heart. Never got bitter. Do you believe he was kind to his brothers? I do too. Was that kindness returned? Some people get bitter because they're kind to others, and those others never return that kindness. But Joseph didn't do that. You want to be a Christian? You're going to have to keep your heart right when you're kind to others, and they don't return that kindness. I want to give you a couple verses. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Bitterness is a bad, bad thing. If you got bitterness in your heart, you don't have to pray about getting right. You need to just get right. Whatever it takes to get right, get it out of there. Right. Hebrews 12, verse 15. The Bible says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby" what? Many. Listen, your bitterness is going to wreck up other people's lives. It's because it says right there, "thereby many be defiled." You know how many of Pastor Matt's generation isn't in church today because their parents got bitter at somebody and they lived in a house full of that bitterness and they said, "I don't want anything to do with this kind of Christianity." Many be defiled. We've seen church members leave here because of bitterness in other people's lives. You have not affected people good. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm telling you, that bitterness is ruining a lot of people. So, well, you know, I don't deserve to be treated this way. Look up here. You know what you deserve? You deserve to go to hell. That's what you deserve. Tonight, you deserve to be in hell with the demons of hell and the fires of hell. That's what you deserve. Anything you get above that, that is grace. See, that pride. I don't deserve to be treated this way. I don't deserve. That's pride. And that's why you're all bitter and unforgiven. Ephesians 4:31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." See, you get that bitterness in there. See those things that follow? Malice. You want to hurt somebody. Most people do. They're hurting with their tongue. Start spreading lies and gossip and all that kind of business. Joseph, he never demanded, "Lord, I don't understand. Why is this happening to me?" He never bowed to bitterness. And the last thing I want to say, Joseph never lost sight of the Lord in his life. Amen. You know, guys, you know, when you live as long as Miss Keenan and I have as saved people from 22 until 69 and 66, we've seen a lot of stuff, man. We've seen people that, you know, just used to be on fire for the Lord, used to serve the Lord. Now they're not even in church. And if you saw them out in the world, you wouldn't even suspect that they were saved. Why? They lost sight of the Lord. And me and her, I thank God, we just have never lost sight of the Lord. People have accused us of some bad things, spread some bad lies about us, knifed us in the back, all that kind of stuff, split my church off, take people, you know what I'm talking about? I can say before you, there's nobody walk in that door that I wouldn't go up and shake their hand. You got to keep your heart right. I've been teaching the kids in chapel that there's great verses about keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. I want my heart right with the Lord. I'm going to stand before the Lord someday, soon. I don't want all that baggage at the judgment. I want a life lived for him. He was tempted. Listen to me. Do you believe Potiphar's wife was some ugly dog? I don't either. I believe she was slim and trim and pretty and dressed provocatively. And for a young man, she was trying to draw attention to herself. But it never entered Joseph's mind to mess with that woman. Number one, she was somebody else's wife. Number two, he wasn't married to her. Number three, it was against the law of God. He didn't even think about it. The seeds of flirtation never took root in his heart. Why not? Because he never lost sight of the Lord. People fall into temptation or fall into sin, if you want to use that phraseology, because they take their eyes off the Lord. He knew that if he messed with that woman, it would be a sin directly against God. This is what David said in Psalm 51. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, for I acknowledge my transgressions. That would be good if we would start there. We're quick to point out other people's transgressions, aren't we? Oh, he didn't say that. He said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. It isn't anybody's fault that you or I sin except our fault. And David knew he'd be sinning against God. Joseph had God's word. He had his promises in his heart. He had no room for bitterness. He had no room for malice. He had no room to cave into temptation and mess around with that woman. Joseph was a man of conviction and character. Go to Genesis 37. I want to show you something. You know what I can't stand? A tattletale. Kids are tattletales. They love to get other kids in trouble. And they're not afraid to stretch the truth to get a kid in trouble. Right? I wore my kids out for tattletaling. I want to show you something, though. Genesis 37:2. Having said that, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Is that being a tattletale? No, it's not. Those boys were doing a bunch of ungodly wickedness that their father was against, and had trained them up better than that. Y'all with me? Now listen, here's what you kids get. You can't rat out your brothers or sisters. You can't rat out your buddies. Well, listen to me. If your buddies are smoking dope, if they're messing around with girls, if they're smoking cigarettes, if they're looking at pornography or something like that, they need to be ratted out. And it's not ratting out, it's helping. If I have good parents, they'll get disciplined properly for it. And then hopefully they would repent and get right about it. Am I making any sense here? Some of you look like I'm just blowing in the wind. Joseph was doing right because at a young age, he had character and he had conviction. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He never lost sight of God. In the days of temptation, he didn't lose sight of the Lord. In the days of trials, Potiphar's house, the prison, even in the palace, even in the days of trial. Listen, he could have gotten even with his brothers, but that would not have pleased the Lord. He never lost sight of the Lord. His brothers come in. Now listen to me. I do believe Joseph, knowing how wicked his brothers were, he was concerned about Benjamin. because Benjamin had come from Rachel. That would have been his brother. Are y'all with me? So I believe some of that stuff that he did was of the Lord to see if his brother was okay. It wasn't about revenge. It wasn't about getting even. It was about checking on his brother, making sure everything was all right. So in all the circumstances that Joseph went through, he never lost sight of the Lord. And those boys, as you know, they were scared that Joseph was going to handle them. Are you scared of how the Lord's going to handle you when you get to heaven? Look, just because we go to heaven doesn't mean we deserve heaven. I'm not worried about the Lord judging me out of malice or bitterness or unforgiveness. So that, to me, says, while I'm here and I deal with my brothers and sisters in Christ, I should deal with them that way. No bitterness, no malice, no unforgiveness, no grudges. Are we okay? Some people think, oh, that family is a perfect family. Look up here. There's no such thing. Look, there's no such thing. Every family, every marriage, every church has issues. You're supposed to handle them as a Christian. That's what Joseph did. That's what we should do.